Lord, we ask Thee to draw near today. Grant that all of us may be blessed through Thy word, that we'll not set our affection in the wrong place. We'll not give our affection to the world, which is going to pass away, and we'll pass away with it. Oh, we fear, Lord, that some might set their affection on the world today, and then it's a short step from there to fall into the sins of the world. And we love the world. It could be a fearful thing. We might love the sins of the world. Oh, Lord, speak to our hearts now. Grant us wisdom. Wisdom to hear Thy word, Thy counsel. Let us abide, Lord. Let that word dwell in us too. Let it dwell there richly. Let it dwell there in all wisdom. Let it dwell there so that we can say a word to somebody else. We ask Thee today, make Thy presence known. Lord, You were with us today and blessed us too in the singing. We wouldn't have changed it for anything. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. We just ask Thee now, shut us in with Thyself, Lord. Come nearer still. Open Thy word to us. Open the word, Lord, to the preacher and the door of utterance as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have been speaking today about serving. Serving the Lord. Ye serve the Lord Christ. These are words for the Christian. And we saw to begin with this morning the kind of people Paul the Apostle had in mind when he wrote those words. Ye serve the Lord Christ. We saw the kind of people they were. They were saints. Saints of God. Very much alive. They were not dead. They were part of the church at Colossae. They were faithful. They were brethren and sisters in Christ. And there was special mention of their being in Christ at that time. And Paul says, we thank God for you. He said, even from the day we heard it. And so then people had talked about Christians at Colossae, and they said good things. And they told Paul how well the saints of God at Colossae were going on with him. But I thought, perhaps to begin with, it might be useful for us just to pick up on a verse or two here and there in the Bible about serving Christ. And possibly you could look them up. Can we mark them in some way in your Bible? Joshua 24, verse 15. Allow me just to abridge the reading for the sake of time. Paul says, Joshua says then, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, he says. He makes a declaration for his household. He puts it down clear and plain before the assembled congregation of all Israel that this would be a public demonstration of where his faith and trust really lay. He says, as for me and my house, he's able to speak. We will serve the Lord. Now, he says, where do you stand? Choose ye this day whom you will serve. And it's one thing or the other. A person at the crossroads. Now, the Lord will say that some here today. You need to know how you stand with God. It's the most important thing to know how you personally stand with God. Joshua said way back then, choose ye this day whom you will serve. You think of two masters. The Lord Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You've got to have one. You either serve Christ or you serve the world. It's a terrible thing. Now, the next one I want you to look at is Deuteronomy 28. Now, all the verses are important, but this might be astonishing. Deuteronomy 28. If you have a Bible there, do take time and look it up, because that's what we're here for. We've got God's Word in front of us. We want to take hold of the Word and go away with the Word. Now, the devil doesn't want you to have the Word. Our Lord Jesus Christ told us how the devil works so diligently to steal away the Word out of your heart. So when you're sitting in church and you hear the Word and it just goes in one ear and out the other, straight through, as if there was nothing in between to stop it. Well, you go away. you haven't even basically remembered what God said to you. So, we want the Word to dwell in your heart and mind today. And this might astound you, might astonish you. Deuteronomy 28. Have you got it by now? Look at it, if you will. It's God's Word that matters, remember. So it's so important to get you to turn up the place. And mind you, you can. You can do it if you just give your mind to it. So here's my request to everybody in the congregation now. Turn up Deuteronomy. Turn it up. Chapter 28. Let's look at it. It has to do with serving the Lord. I just thought I'd put together, remember what I said there? I want to put some verses together about serving the Lord for your own personal recognition. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. I said, it might be astonishing. Is it? Deuteronomy 28, 47. Let me read it. Because, now Moses is speaking to Israel. Before they go into the land of promise, Moses is speaking to Israel, and this is what he says. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, and then there's something else. We'll come to that in a minute. But first of all, verse 47. What is the Lord saying here? That we're to serve him with joy and gladness. So we don't go along the street with our heart in our boots or shoes, as the case may be, or slippers or sandals, whatever the footwear. We don't go down the street full of glumness, but rejoicing. If you know the Lord and you know who you are serving, you will have joy, great joy. And the Lord puts it like this, with joyfulness, with gladness of heart. Are you glad you're here? Are you glad you have a Bible? Are you glad that you're among Christian people? Are you glad that you are a believer? Are you glad the Lord saved you? Are you glad that the Lord has given you a home and glory? Are we serving the Lord with gladness or with glumness? No, no. We don't want even to bring that word into it, do we? You see here, the Lord says for a Christian, if you don't have the joy, some days we may even lose the joy because we're subject to change. Or you're not feeling so well. Or something came as a disappointment. And if your gladness disappears, although this is to do with serving the Lord, not just basically how we feel every day in life. But if you lose the joy, you ask the Lord again to give you the joy of his salvation. Read Psalm 51 sometime. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The Lord can give you back the joy. If you have lost the thrill, the Lord can restore it. And that's Psalm 51, remember. Now we have got this because of the abundance of great things the Lord has done for you as a Christian. That's why you're to have gladness of heart. We can't even have joy enough even to do this verse justice. But there is something else. And that's in verse 48. You see there, because you didn't serve the Lord with joyfulness, God said to Israel way, way back then, in the last days of Moses, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, and you'll have hunger and thirst and nakedness and the want of all things. Isn't that terrible? Let me speak of this country, England. This country, on the whole, doesn't want the Lord. Country doesn't want the Bible. This country has no joy in the things of God, rather even bitter enmity. gives you warning here. If you don't want the Lord, then you'll not have Him. But you'll have somebody else. And the Lord would say to England, if I could get all the MPs and make them sit down and make them keep quiet, I would just say, if you'll not have the Lord, remember this. If you'll not have the Lord, you'll have somebody else. And you'll serve your enemies. And how will you serve them? With great jubilation will you say, better off than ever. Better off without the Bible. Better off without God. Better off without Jesus Christ. No, you're not. Therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee. God will send them. You've left the Lord out, but the Lord will send them. And you'll not turn them back. He'll send them against you in hunger and thirst, nakedness, the want of all things. Do you see? The want of all things. Now, we're not the richest people in the world, but I think you'll agree we get by. It's something to put on when you come to church on Sunday, and there was something on the table, and even between times in the meetings there, you had a bite or two, and you thank the Lord for that. But the Lord says, if you don't want me, even with joy, you needn't have me. You can have somebody else. And then, with hunger and thirst and nakedness and the want of all things, you will see then just what a joy there is to be found in Christ. I think this is powerful. And we didn't finish there. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee. The only hope for this country is Christ, if people had the sense. The only hope for you is Christ. If you have the wit today, you have the sense. Young person, speaking to you. Older person, I'm addressing you. You see what God says? When you're serving the Lord, then be glad about it. Serve Him with jubilation, with joy of soul, gladness of heart, because you have a wonderful Savior. That's well worth coming to the church today just to get that verse, isn't it? I think it is. It's powerful. I'll show you another one. Malachi chapter 3, almost the last chapter in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. And it's about serving God too. These are not all the verses about serving God, because there's a multitude of them. But I have thought to pick out some of them just to give you things to go home with about serving the Lord. You can say, I saw it myself in the Bible, Malachi 3. And I think the background to this is a background of revival. I'll pour you out such a blessing, God said in verse 10, there'll be no room to receive it. The Lord send us that blessing even today. And then verse 18, the last verse in Malachi 3. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You want to draw a line right through the congregation. You want to tell who's on the Lord's side and who is not. You see me today, I'm a visitor. I've been here before, as I've said, and have pleasant memories of being here before, ministering the Word of God. Nice to be back. But this is true. I don't know everybody in the congregation today. And I can't very well draw a line right through the congregation and put some on one side and some on the other. Those who serve the Lord, I'm going to put you over here. Those who are not serving the Lord, I'm going to put you over there. I can't do that. I can't even tell if you're a Christian. I might assume you're a Christian. I might assume that you know the Lord, and then I rejoice in that. But I can't really tell who here is serving the Lord and who is not. See? But the Lord said, the day is coming when you will. It'll stand out like sunshine. You'll be able to tell who's serving the Lord and who's not. That's going to come right out into the open. You see that there? And there's more in verse 18. You can discern between the righteous and the wicked. I can't tell today in this congregation. I can't tell who knows the Lord and loves the Lord here. And I can't tell who doesn't. But the time's coming. And we're going to know. Only you see, listen carefully. It might be too late then. Might be too late then to draw the line and to say, oh, I didn't know that. I thought you knew the Lord. I thought you loved the Lord and you don't. And they might find it out too late. We don't want to do that. Verses are wonderful. They're all about serving the Lord. Then if you've got that marker in Colossians 3, just go across to it. I don't want Colossians just at this moment. But nearby, the next page, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just look at this. If you've got Colossians marked, Colossians 3:24, it might even be the same page lying open in front of you. Maybe you'll have to turn over a page. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. No, it's verse 9, but we can take 9 and 10 together. For he says here, the apostle says of the people of Thessalonica who are saved, he's saying there, remember how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. We remember how it was with you when you were converted. You turned to God. You turned from idols. You turned then to serve the living and true God and to wait, verse 10, for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know what it is to be saved from hell, which delivered us from the wrath to come? Well, he says here, you turn to God. And you turn to God from idols. But it didn't stop there. Salvation for them didn't stop there. They turned to God from idols, but they started to serve the living and the true God. Maybe you're converted, and you have turned to God. I don't know whether you turned away from any idols. You might have. But you've turned to God. You're waiting for his Son from heaven, but are you serving the Lord? Are you doing something for the Lord? That, if you're not enjoying the Lord, that could be a reason. Because perhaps you're just delivering everything in life to your own heart and your own life, and you're not doing anything for the Lord. To serve the living and true God. But I've got to come to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Just want to give a rundown in the chapter. And I say this. The question might come up when we see our text for today. You serve the Lord Christ. How can we serve the Lord? That question is fair enough. How can we serve the Lord? Somebody here is asking that question. Somebody today is saying, how can I serve the Lord? How can I best serve the Lord? Well, let's look at the chapter because I think the chapter goes far to explain it. First of all, verse 1 and verse 2, them together. You can best serve the Lord by setting your affection on heavenly things. That would be a start. If you're going to serve the Lord, surely you would agree. A start is made here. You can best serve the Lord by setting your affection on heavenly things. You can't serve the Lord if that's not true. Ah, it's a lovely thing just to read over the words. Look at them again, because this word has got to go home with you, you see. If ye be risen with Christ, remember, the Lord Jesus took your place. He died for you if you're a believer. And as he took your place, then as far as eternal wrath is concerned, you died in him. And when he was buried, you were buried with him, as it were. He rose again on the third day, and you still identified with him. You're identified with him not only on the cross, but also in his rising again, his rising from the dead into heaven. So there is a place reserved then for you in heaven, because our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is there representing us. And you're risen with Christ. And you're to seek those things which are above. Somebody said years ago, home is where the heart is. I think there's a lot of truth in that. There's no place like home. Home is where the heart is. What about the heavenly home? Is your heart there? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. He sitteth at the right hand of God. We read in verse 1. He's there. And if heaven is your home, that home should be where your heart is. And we come to the heart in verse 2. Your affection. You set your affection on things above. Are you doing that? Do you need more time for the world? Do you know more about the world than you do about the Lord and the Bible? There are people today who profess to be saved, but they know far, far more about the world and worldly society than they do about the Scriptures. There's a disparity there, some inequality. There's something there that isn't right. And this campaigner, if you're going to serve the Lord, you will serve him best by setting your affection on heavenly things where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Notice when people speak of their affections in this life, they put an S to the word affection. And if someone was writing to a friend about their own personal life, they might say, I want to tell you about my affections. That would be like the thing. But when we find the word in the Bible, it's singular. It's your affection centered on Christ. You can't split up your affections. You can't say, oh, I have a whole bunch of affections, and I have one of them for the Lord Jesus, and the rest of them are for myself and for the world. You can't divide them up. There's only the one here, affection. It's in the singular. And then on the margin, you might see your mind. And that's important, that your mind is set in Christ. What about your mindset? How you are in your mind may even affect your disposition, affect your personality. And it's so important that your mind is set in Christ. Remember, the devil, if he can, will destroy your mind, will fill your mind with all sorts of things, instead of getting the truth of God there. So you can best serve the Lord by setting your affection heavenly things. Look at verse 4. You can best serve the Lord by keeping in mind his coming again. I tell you, many Christians have forgotten this. There are some Christian churches even, and I mean Christian churches, and I have the suspicion that the Lord's return is never mentioned there from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. Even though they love the Lord and love his word, they never mention the Lord's coming. Not effectively. They may, just in a matter of words that will gain nobody's attention, just skate over the thing that the Lord's coming back again. They do it at the communion table until he come, and that's it. It never goes any further. It's not a reality. And you can best serve the Lord if you keep the Lord's return in view. You see that there, verse 4. Who could say, out of this congregation today, who could say, I'll read this verse and it doesn't mean a thing? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, I want you to notice some other words in verse 4. Christ is our life. What does your life consist of? Tell me that. Is your life bundled up in the world? Is your life in totality found in earthly things? I suspect it is. There are some here who fit into that category. There are some here today, and the Lord has sent me with this message for you, because your life is centered around the wrong things. The wrong things completely. And here is our life. Christ is our life. He's the center of our life. He's also the circumference of our life. Christ is all in all, as the later verse shows. What about you then? You can serve the Lord best by keeping in mind His coming again. And there are Christians today, they truly intend to make their lives count for God, and they desire to serve the Lord faithfully and fervently and fully, but yet they come short of the mark because they're not holding in with these things that are found in the chapter. And you'll see the third thing that we should notice. We should serve the Lord, and we're best able to serve the Lord if we can keep our garments clean, if we can maintain a testimony for the Lord. And you can see verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. These verses tell us you can quickly slip into sin. These things destroy the testimony of a Christian. You have to walk uprightly. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes. It's verse 8 out of chapter 9, but I don't want you to turn it now. Let thy garments be always white. Let thy garments be always clean. That's what the Lord says there. Let thy garments be always clean. He's talking about the spiritual walk of the Christian. That you should keep your life clean. The testimony is important. And you notice the things that the ungodly, the worst of them, are doing in verse 5. There we have a whole string of things that belongs to a world of ungodliness. And then there are things, verse 8, which the Christian may not have got rid of yet. Maybe somebody here today, you haven't got rid of these things. You say, what things are you talking about? Well, look at verse 8 and 9. Maybe you haven't got rid of these. But what does the Lord say? Put them on? Does the Lord say adopt them? Does the Lord say practice them? No, let's see what He does say in verse 8. Put off all these. Anger. What about anger? Are you a person given to anger quickly? Just flare up as if you were like a box of matches suddenly fired up. And wrath and malice. That's revengefulness and blasphemy. What about the words you say? You say you're a Christian, and is there something, a foul communication coming out of your mouth, and you say, I'm a Christian? There are lots of people like that in London. Lots of people like that in Lisburn, I have to say, also. Some are saying, oh yes, I'm a Christian, all right. Then out of that mouth comes forth foul communication. And what does the Lord say in verse 8? Now get a hold of this. How can you best serve the Lord? By putting off all these. Put them all away. Now is that clear or is it not? Now this isn't my word. You'll appreciate. This is not my word. This is God's word. Years ago I was preaching in a church way up country Northern Ireland. That meeting was filled. And as I preached, there was a lady sitting on the front row. And then she piped up in a loud voice, loud enough for everybody to hear, sure we know all that. And I quoted another text and referred to it to say, oh, but sure I heard that before. Well, of course she did. And she and I had a nice conversation at the end, but listen, I can't rewrite the Bible. I'm here just to tell you what God says. And I'm happy if you've heard it before, because that means you have a better chance of keeping it there lodged in your heart. And it's all right to say, oh, I heard all that, but are you doing it? That's another thing. So God speaks today. I didn't write this. The Lord has said this. Put it off. Put these things away. If you are interested in serving Christ, you can serve Him best by doing this. I say that's marvelous. Look at another verse. Sunday afternoons become sleepy times. And it's just impossible for you to nod off here. And what I would like to do is bring you back. I'd like to bring you back here to the church. If you're away to the land of Nod, for example, I want to just bring you back. Maybe Sunday afternoon is like that. And I've got to keep you alert. That's why I'm here. But look at this. You see, the Lord shows us if we're going to serve Him, we can best serve Him by putting these things away. They spoil the Christian. They mar his testimony. And they're not God's will for you to adopt. They don't belong to the nature of a Christian. Let me go further. I have to jump over verses now because Father Time is behaving badly. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. How can you serve the Lord? You can serve Him best by becoming familiar with the Word of God. The better you know the Bible, the more able you are to serve Him. The less you know of God's Word, the less equipped you are to serve Him. You know what Christians are saying today? They have said it to me. We'd love to have more meetings where we can just sit down of a night and get around the Word of God and spend that time together. You know why they're saying that? Because they're admitting they're not getting time with God. They're not getting time with the Bible. And here's the Lord saying, in this chapter that has to do with serving the Lord Christ, and somebody says, how can I best serve Him? By getting to know His Word. By having the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly in all wisdom. You have to pray for wisdom. We don't have wisdom of ourselves. We've got to say, Lord, give me wisdom and let me help. You see the word teaching? You see the word admonishing? Is that there in your Bible? If it isn't, you must have another version. I have the Authorized Version. Look at this here. When you let the Word of God dwell in you, of course, you'll be better equipped to serve the Lord because you'll be teaching somebody else. It might be a sinner, the way of salvation. Maybe a backslider. You're teaching that backslider to get back with God. And you're teaching. What about admonishing? Anybody here know what that word means in the original? Well, that word admonish means, mind you, it's for the preacher. It's very simple, really. It's where God's saying to the preacher, you put that word in their minds. See to that. You've got the word there today. You put it in their minds. And that's what I'm here to do today. You see all the folks who are sitting over here? I want to put this word in your mind today. That's what admonishing means. So it's right there in Scripture, isn't it? So you can write it down. Some of you have got a notebook. That's useful. Put it down. Because the next time you come on this word, you may forget what it means. Admonish means put it into the mind. And here are folks over on this side. You know why God has sent me today with this word? He's saying, put it into their minds. I want, before I go, to do this as best I can. I want to put God's word in your mind. And the devil, let me tell you this, I nearly feel like whispering it. The devil wants to take it out of your mind. The devil wants to steal it away out of your mind. And it's my business to stand here and put the word of God into your mind. Because this word is important for your life even to come. So we're getting on, and I'll have to wrap up here, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just do it briefly. How can you best serve the Lord? Let's look over the chapter. You can best serve the Lord by setting your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. You can best serve the Lord by keeping His coming again in mind. You can best serve the Lord by clearing out of your life those ungodly things that spoil the testimony of the Christian. And you can best serve the Lord by letting the Word of God abide in your heart continually. To dwell in your heart richly. There are Christians in Northern Ireland. If I were to say to them, what would you say in the way of summing up your knowledge of Scripture? Some of them would say, it's poor enough. It's poor enough. But that's the opposite of richly. Everybody here knows the difference between rich and poor. God says, I want you to be rich in Scripture. And poor in regard to the world. Worldly things, that is. Now, do you see that you'd want to serve the Lord in the home place? And very quickly, whatsoever you do, verse 17, word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. Not in your name, but in His name. And you'll not do it in the Lord's name unless you're empowered to do it by Him. And you've got to say, Lord, let me do it for Thee. Now, if you want to know how you can best serve the Lord, you want to serve the Lord at home. And you look there, verse 18, verse 19, verse 20, verse 21, we're talking about the home. You serve the Lord at home. You don't want just to appear as a Christian, a fine Christian in church, and live a wretched life at home. You have to serve the Lord at home too. And so those verses, don't you see that? With interest, maybe astonishment, wives, husbands, children, the Lord speaks to them all. Fathers, the Lord takes everybody on board, and you serve the Lord at home. And what about serving Him at work? And you look there at verse 22, the word servant is used. And the master, the employer. And when you're employed, you're not putting in the time and taking money that you haven't earned. No, no, you will work there as a Christian will work. And you have to remember that you do not work with eye service as men pleasers, but you do it, whatever you do it for the Lord. So this is wonderful. The Bible's a wonderful book. How do I serve the Lord? I may serve Him at home. I may serve Him in the workplace. I may serve Him in the street, for that matter. How I conduct myself publicly. Verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Not unto men. Knowing it of the Lord, you shall receive the reward. I just want to talk, closing, about the reward. It's going to be worthwhile serving the Lord. You'll never be ashamed having served the Lord. The Lord will never desert you. He'll never leave you empty of heart and empty of soul. Because if you have served Him, He'll bless you all your days. There's a reward here. But there is another reception in verse 25. You see, the word receive appears again. The person who's done wrong will receive for the wrong which he has done. And there's no respect of persons. He could be the leader of the House of Commons. A big name around Parliament buildings. It's not a name that will give him any special standing when he meets God. And if you have done right, you'll have a reward for doing the right thing before God. And if you haven't done right, you receive for the wrong. So that you can just commit your life to Him, to the Lord, and ask the Lord to be with you in your lifetime. I've come to the close of the service. Now I want to ask you, how do we find you in the meeting? After all, the Lord said, we got it this morning and we could see it clearly. And I trust it was a blessing to you. Ye serve the Lord Christ. And that's a privilege. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. Before you were saved, what did you do? You were living in the world. Somebody here said, just serve the devil. I'm serving the Savior now. That's a blessing. And the best is yet to be. and we get home to glory, we shall be like him. We don't want to be ashamed, do we? I wish I could just leave this pulpit and go right down to where you are and say, we don't want to be ashamed when the Lord comes because we haven't served him properly. Will the tears start running down our cheeks when we see the mistake we've made? We have time to put that right. You serve the Lord Christ. You don't want to be ashamed before him that is coming. To welcome him with gladness, even in that day.